To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Happy Monday, everybody. We're back after our Turkey Day hangover.
Deep down, I'm fat.
Did you guys eat a lot of good food? Did you get stuffed? You stuff your bellies?
I did.
Ate a lot of good food. I did not overdo it.
Didn't overdo it this year?
I overdid it with the sweets. I tell you this, I haven't had a checkup in just over a year, so I usually get a checkup once a year, make sure everything's still good.
Everything's ticking right.
I partook a little bit, and I tried almost every sweet possible, and I sat down. We were at my nephew's birthday because it was the same day, and I was sitting on the couch, and my left arm was kind of hurting.
You give it a tingle, a little pain there.
Isn't this literally the sign of a heart attack?
This is not good. I just had 37 pieces of pumpkin pie. It's going to end well for me.
But man, I also hadn't had any sugar for like a week and a half prior to that.
Calm down, Mel Kiper.
You got
to do it every day. You got to build up. When you're running a marathon, do you just not run for a month and then go run?
Well, here's
you got to be loosey-goosey going in. You got to grease your tubes.
I had one piece of pecan pie. That was it.
You only had one piece of pie?
I still have a few pieces in the fridge.
I didn't have any dessert.
Sent home
at all? No, not a single bite.
Dude, we had a big problem. So my nephew's birthday, I mentioned, we all show up, right? But we don't talk about who's bringing what item specifically.
Oh, there's no coordination. Assignments handed out prior?
Right. So my sister-in-law makes a stellar Thanksgiving traditional meal, right? Her mac is amazing. The ham, the turkey, all of it's good, right? I made a Biscoff cheesecake, a no-bake one. So it's a little more cream cheesy than like a normal cheesecake, right? Well, she has apple pie. And then my cousin brings a birthday, like a very fancy birthday cake.
Dude, what?
Yeah. And then my wife.
Dirt was coming?
Yeah.
No.
Somebody's got to include the cake in there for us cake people.
Then my wife brings a key lime.
Oh.
So she made a key lime. I made a Biscoff cheesecake.
How did you and your wife not coordinate?
Well, she makes a killer key lime pie.
Okay, but yeah.
And I just wanted to try this Biscoff cheesecake. I get there and I'm like, nobody's going to eat this.
So how much cheesecake is still at your house?
A lot.
42% of it. Yeah. I've had to eat a slice every day and I've been trying to be really healthy. I've been exercising a lot. I've been eating great. And then I'm like, well, I got to eat my slice of cheesecake today.
Got to have my cheesecake.
I'm done. I think I'm throwing the rest away.
Yeah, I get to that point with leftovers of any way of Thanksgiving for me of like, I give it 2 days and then I'm kind of tired of the food. And it's like, this is just taking up space in the fridge now.
The food
I don't want to eat another food, a bowl of turkey.
Totally get it. We have one more thing of leftover turkey. I'm going to eat that for lunch. It's good protein anyway. But my mom came over and she brings 2 boxes of crumble pie.
What are we doing?
Crumble made little mini pies and she has 2 boxes of them.
Mm.
I'm just like, I can't do this.
You're clogging arteries left and right over there.
I'm trying to live to 40.
Does look like a little weight to you, a little weight. We got a lot to get to in this hour. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Now, Merry Christmas, because it is officially December. So ho, ho, ho to all my hoes out there. We will talk to Bill Ram coming up 15 minutes from now. We haven't even talked about it yet.
Can you introduce him as Bill Ram?
I will. I promise you.
Not like
just
like
see if
no
he says
deal.
Anything, and we'll see what the response is. Bill Oram will join us in 15 minutes. That's an inside joke you're probably not getting. How about these guys?
Yeah, go, baby!
You guys did something.
We did.
We're not going to talk about your game because I didn't watch a second of it.
I saw him down 19-0, and I went, oh, yeah, okay.
Evidently, you guys were fighting after the game, too, so maybe it is turning into a rivalry.
They're also making Pac-12 champion shirts, and that's a very specific detail. The first time they played technically didn't count as a conference game. Did you know that?
I did not know that. None of them should count as conference games because you're not too in a conference. Can I also add one? Apologize to sidetrack here.
Yeah.
Do you know why Virginia's in the ACC title game?
Is it because of Washington State?
No.
No, it's because their loss to NC State was not a conference game.
They played NC State and lost this year, and it didn't count as a conference game.
Wait, how? They've been in that conference for a minute.
I think it was they had to cancel a non-conference game for some reason, and they couldn't. I don't know the full backstory.
So they weren't scheduled to play this year, so they had to schedule it as a non-con?
They lost one of their
losses. Was it they weren't scheduled, or was this scheduled?
No, because no, it's a non-conference.
We'll have to see if something. I don't know the full answer to that. But they played NC State, who is an ACC team. They lost. There is a five-way tie for second with five teams with two losses. Virginia's in with one conference loss. There should be a six-way tie for first atop the ACC, but that doesn't count. You just made me think of that, and I forgot to bring that up earlier. So
the two teams scheduled a non-conference home game for 2026.
How is that? How do you do that?
But now it's been moved to become an ACC conference game played in Rio de Janeiro?
What? Like, I know that happened in the Big 12 because there were non-conference games that were already on the books.
How?
And then,
but
like,
they've been in the conference together.
No, I know. That's where it's different. Like, Utah joining and you're playing Baylor, and it's like, well, that was already, so I just kind of count it as a non-conference game. That makes a little more sense. That one was weird. I was reading about that this weekend, and you thought bubbled me there for a moment. No, you guys are in the news because you guys officially hired a head coach. Jonathan Smith, no. Not so fast. He did get fired, but he's not coming back. And we will get to that in a little bit. You have hired Jamarcus Shepherd to be your new head coach. He was the wide receiver coach at Alabama. We talked about him throughout the process.
Yep.
For those who are unfamiliar, a quick backdrop of him. He is 42 years old,
42.
I believe. 42 years old. He has spent time at Alabama the last couple of years on Kalen DeBoer's staff. He was on the Kalen DeBoer staff at Washington the year they went to the national title game. He was at Purdue a couple of years as a wide receiver coach. He has spent some time in the Northwest on top of Washington. He was on the Washington State staff for a year in 2016, and he's cut his teeth at lower levels, too, at Western Kentucky in particular. But a guy who is known for his energy, for his enthusiasm, everybody loves him, who has been around him. It seems like every box possible can be checked other than any sort of head coaching experience. He doesn't have that, but Oregon State rolls the dice on a young up-and-coming wide receiver coach from Alabama.
And I applaud at least the decision. I know I kind of bagged it earlier, and I understand he's probably not going to ever be a friend of the program. That's okay. I applaud the institution for at least taking the swing. I have said from the very start of this thing, you can tell me Paul Christ is the most slam dunk guy of this. Look at his record at Wisconsin. He was actually good. Why wasn't he hired for 3 years? Like, that was something that I kept coming back to of, yeah, he might be the right guy. Maybe he's ready to win now. Why is he only an offensive analyst? If somebody is really, really good, I just feel like institutions hire him. That dude did have no job for 3 years. And that kind of like was a little bit of a red flag for me.
To your point, there's also other openings, and he has not been given any other openings.
And like, and you can say, well, all the big institutions are going to the big names. Okay, but what about the other ones?
Yeah,
like,
what about all the G6 teams that are now looking for head coaches? Are they going to go hire?
Maybe. I don't know. But I just, from the beginning, I wanted them to take a swing. Vegan would have been a swing. Shepherd is certainly a swing. The no head coach experience, whatever, dude. Like, you can say that matters or it doesn't matter. You won't know if you're right until the end of next year and we see how all this plays out.
Yeah.
I love the background. He is clear developer of talent. You mentioned the Washington State stuff. Really good season with receivers that season.
Mm-hmm.
Rondale Moore at Purdue.
Yes.
What he did at Washington. What he's done with Jeremy Bernard and company at Alabama. Like
Ryan Williams, yeah.
And we have paid on Thursday. This is a very, very well-known, respected dude down in SEC country.
Yes.
Especially within Alabama. Like,
he's beloved by everybody in the Seattle area,
he is,
too.
They wanted him if Jed Fish was going to leave. He's a 42-year-old dude who is excited. He's enthusiastic. He's already built his staff. We already have an OC. We have a general manager. Like, this dude gets me excited about what they can do even in the first year of a new conference. So I don't know if it works, but I really like the hire. I really like the swing for the fences mentality. You're as low as you can get. One win, two wins, zero wins. Don't really care. They all suck. So swing away. I love that they did it. I love that they landed him. And now we get to see what he can do down over in Corvallis.
Seems like a win-win for both sides, right? Like, you're the wide receiver coach at Alabama. There's not a lot of head coaching. Like, that's not – usually coordinators will be up for those next head coaching jobs. So it's not like there's a bigger opportunity for him to go be a head coach. And if it doesn't work out for him, he could go back to being a wide receiver coach at an SEC school.
Easily, make like yes.
It. So it's a great gamble on his part. And I think to your point on the Paul Chryst angle, and I think you could clump some of the coaches in here. Now, I know they're not all the same. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a floor and ceiling debate. Like, you could make the argument, we don't know how he's going to be as a head coach. Could be great, could
no
be
clue.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
We met Jimmy Lake at Pac-12 Media Day, and we thought, man, this guy's awesome. I totally get why they gave him the job. And 16 months later, he got turfed because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. So you never know how these are going to work out. So there's a lower floor, potentially, because it's an unknown. But I would argue there's a higher ceiling because there's that unknown. Whereas if you hire Paul Chryst or Brent Vegan or any of those caliber of coaches, not to be disrespectful to them, I feel like I know what the ceiling is. And maybe that's unfair because Chryst has been out for a while and Vegan was at a lower level and maybe they elevated.
Chryst wasn't even a finalist for this job.
I know. And he said he took himself out of the running, which I don't know if that was even true. I don't know all played out behind the scenes. But for that reason, I love the gamble of, like, you kind of got nothing to lose right now. You're at the lowest point you've ever been as a program. You've been left behind. You're going to a new little conference. Like, what the hell, dude? Rolled the dice on a guy that you feel like is going to work his ass off week in and week out to get you to where you need to go. And if he leaves in 3 years for a bigger job, thank you for elevating our program. We'll go hire the next head
and
coach.
And I told a few people this that were reaching out about this and I was talking to. It's like, basically, how do you feel? And I said, I like the gamble. I like the swing. Seems, you know, everything I just said, I basically said, and I said, the best case scenario, I mean, best case is he just wants to stay at the group of six and whatever. Okay,
yeah, playoff appearances, and sure, he loves that life and all that.
And he's a god in Corvallis for a decade plus. Okay, right. Yeah, that's best. But realistic scenario, you said he's a Kentucky guy by his roots. He's grinding his way in the SEC right now. Best case scenario is this thing is righted in 3 years, and he's taking an elevated job at a power conference.
And you say, thank you, they'll go hire the next coach.
And that's kind of been my stance. Like, don't be afraid to lose a guy. I hate, you don't hire by fear. I just don't believe that's the right method of madness. I think you need to hire best possible candidate with highest ceiling according to you, and if he fulfills the ceiling and he leaves, all right, cool, good luck to you. We now have an established program at a group of six with a playoff, you know, type aspirations, and you go get the next Jamarcus Shepherd. Like, that's what this should be. I don't know if Barnes is the one that's going to make that hire at that point, but to me, that's best case scenario. He elevates it to the point where he's offered a Power Four, and if he stays, hell yeah. And if he leaves, well, program's been elevated. You're in a winnable conference. Thank you very much. Go find the next good candidate.
Became very interesting over the weekend, too, considering your ex was fired. And I want to get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, a fun fact for you quickly before we go to Bill Ram. You know who gave him his start in coaching? Jamarcus Shepherd. You know who you have to thank for all of this?
Ooh. Are you going to tell me? It's going to be somebody stupid, isn't it?
Wouldn't I be the head coach at Oregon? His first job was at Western Kentucky.
There
he was
go.
A volunteer on Willie Taggart's staff at Western Kentucky.
Hey.
So Willie Taggart says, go be great. You're welcome.
Taggart gave you Crystal Ball. Crystal Ball gave you Lanning.
That's right.
Willie Taggart, thank you.
And he's giving you Jamarcus Shepherd. Let's talk to Bill Orem or Bill Ram, the columnist at the Oregonian, about this and Oregon punching their ticket to the CFP. He was in Seattle this week, and he joins us next for the Daily Ticker on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa, the Cascadian Dark Ale that brings holiday cheer to your glass. Get on the naughty list with Bad Santa.
That's fantastic. Daily Ticker, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing. Warm up with bold flavor and get into the holiday spirit. Enjoy by the fire or maybe even under the mistletoe. Check out their new and improved Bad Santa.
One of the ladies at the checkout at one of the stores we went to the last couple days, she was like, "Is that a Pelican sweatshirt?" And I was like, "Yes, it is." And she goes, "I love them." And I go, "They got a new coastal location at Rockaway Beach." And she goes, "That's great. I don't have enough time." And she just looked at me
that
and
took a negative turn.
Stopped talking, and she looked like she was in her 60s.
All
like,
of a sudden had a moment where it was like an existential moment of, I don't get enough vacation time, I'm upset about other things. This took a weird turn all of a sudden.
I didn't know where that was going, so I said, have a good day, see you later.
Do we think Bill Ram, our guest, is on the naughty list or the nice list?
I think he dabbles more on the nice list, but I think he does a lot of naughty things behind the scenes.
Bill Orme is our guest, who we're not going to call you Bill Ram now because there was an autocorrect in a text message when Swag told us that you were getting booked on the show, and we then spent an hour texting about how cool of a name Bill Ram would be. So if we call you Bill Ram now, you get the inside joke. Columnist at the Oregonian. Bigger story for you this weekend, naughty or nice list, is it Oregon State hiring a coach or Oregon punching their CFP ticket?
I actually think the bigger story is Oregon State hiring a coach, only because that was one we weren't entirely sure how it was going to go. Say what you want about the Oregon Washington rivalry and some of the tenser moments in that game. Oregon has been on a pretty obvious path to the CFP for most of this season. So the Ducks took care of business, but the Beavers, I thought, deserve a lot of credit for, you know, what appears to be a pretty thorough and, reputable kind of search, and emerged with a coach that people are really excited to see hit the ground in Corvallis. So I think the Beavers kind of coming out of the fog of this season with actually some positivity in the form of Jamarcus Shepherd is kind of the highlight of the long weekend here locally.
Well, where were you going into the process? Because I was pretty quite clear, loudly, like, don't go for a retread. Like, maybe Paul Chris is the right guy for the gig. I wanted them to swing for the fences. When you get a 2-win season, I understand wanting to just get back to 6-6 and have some normalcy, but screw that, dude. College football is moving and grooving. Take a swing. You can't be worse than 2-10 because 1-11 is the same thing to me anyway. Where were you at going into the process, and what have you learned about Shepherd so far early on?
Well, going into the process, I was totally with you. I thought that this needed to be a situation where the Beavers were catching somebody on the upswing of their career, and that can take different forms. I was a huge proponent of Brent Vegan from Montana State, although I can't disassociate the fact that I am a Montana guy and Brent Vegan has wreaked havoc on the Big Sky Conference for 5 years. And so getting him out of the Big Sky would have been good for me personally. But that's somebody who came in with a lot of the qualities I was looking for in terms of knowing how to run a program, being a CEO of his program, being a program builder, quarterback whisperer, offensive, kind of genius. But there was a big hole in his game, and that was that he had never, worked in this era of college football at the FBS level. He'd been an offensive coordinator at the FBS level, but not in the transfer portal NIL era. And when you're doing that at the FCS, it's just a little bit of a different tier. The money's not as big. The stakes aren't quite as high. And so Jamarcus Shepherd comes in and he's got that. He's been at the highest level of the sport. He's done worked with the NIL and rev share. He's been in the transfer portal. And so, you know, but the hole in his game was that he hadn't been a head coach. And so I think that, you know, if you were looking at those as a head-to-head comparison, it's which one are you more comfortable not getting? And, you know, you see a lot of coordinators come in and who are successful in these roles. And I think one thing that the Beavers were smart not to do was to not be entirely scared off by the idea of hiring a coordinator because of what happened with Trent Bray. Trent Bray was not ready to be a head coach because Trent Bray had not done the work to become a head coach. That was not something that he had been planning for years. You know, Dan Lanning was exceptional from day one because he had been, you know, each step of the way, he had been thinking about when I'm a head coach, what am I going to do and how am I going to attack that? And, you know, I don't know this directly from Jamarcus Shepherd, but I get the sense that he's much more like that. You know, he has worked kind of at the right hand of, you know, Kalen DeBoer for years with sort of the expectation that eventually, you know, when an opportunity comes, he knows how to run his own program. And that's, I think, you know, the kind of coordinator you are looking for. So he comes in with the incredible pedigree of having won, you know, obviously reached the national championship game as the, you know, passing game coordinator at UW. You know, he was, you know, I mean, Michael Penix was Michael Penix, but, you know, who was kind of in his ear for those 2 years at Washington, it was Jamarcus Shepherd. You know, if you're an Oregon State fan and you remember kind of the heartbreak of that game against the Huskies at Research Stadium the week before Jonathan Smith leaves for Michigan State, you know, I mean, Jamarcus Shepherd is there, you know, helping call that game that, you know, absolutely, you know, devastated the Beavers. So I think that, you know, the pedigree, the resume, it's all there for Jamarcus Shepherd. And the people I talked to about him, it was clear that he, you know, he wanted to be in Corvallis. You know, he didn't just want a job. You know, when he was on campus interviewing for this position, he made it very clear that it was a place he was excited to be in where he wanted to build his career. And I think that that's the thing that Beaver fans, you know, are looking for the most. I mean, this is, you know, obviously a wounded fan base, a wounded, you know, community, and, you know, somebody who wants to build, you know, the Beavers back into that kind of, the kind of program that they had before the bottom fell out, you know, somebody who's going to believe in them and believe in the potential at OSU, you know, that's the biggest quality you could possibly be looking for.
No doubt about that. I would argue too, in the short term, having somebody who can kind of rally the troops and get money flowing again. And he seems like he's a great, you know, press conference kind of guy. He's going to definitely win the press conference, good in interviews and all that. That Jonathan Smith got away with it. The dude's super awkward, but he won. And so people kind of looked past it. Trent Bray was, I mean, there's not much charismatic nature behind that. If he would have won, people would have looked past it, but I think that helps him in the short term for sure. Bill Orem, our guest, they've done columnists over at the Oregonian, they've done a great job over there covering this. Ryan Clark has been great, breaking a lot of news about who's flying in, who's flying out, and all that. So, phenomenal job by the folks over there. My co-host, who is obviously a diehard Beav and a Beav grad, has the concern of, I like the hire, but is he going to be able to get over the hurdles of working with whoever is in the administration? Because I think to say it's been a disaster behind the scenes the last handful of months would be putting it mildly. Where is Bill Orem on that concern of, hey, you might have made a good hire, but do I trust everything else that's going on behind the scenes?
I think that the search gives me a lot of hope that there is sort of that there are calmer waters behind the scenes. You know, there have been absolutely some issues. The Damnation Blueprint contract ended up being a total disaster. You know, the handling of the coaching situation. I mean, there's a lot there about what is the actual vision at Oregon State. You know, I mean, it goes back to, you know, I would say the spring game, the way they've handled their spring game, something that I have harped on for a couple of years and that they've been really resistant to, where it's just sort of, they want to put their head down and let the work speak for itself. And I do think there needs to be sort of a reimagining of what the identity at Oregon State is and how you bring people into, you know, Beaver Nation. And I think that the fact that they did make such a, I would even say a swing for the fences higher and such a, you know, and went and got an innovator and somebody who's clearly going to come in and try to create a new environment. This is not somebody who's part of, you know, the Beaver family. This is not somebody from the Mike Riley, Dennis Erickson coaching tree. I think the hire represents a real willingness to do things differently at OSU. I think the fact that Scott Barnes surrounded himself in this coaching search with a bunch of people who have not necessarily had a seat at the table in the past. You know, say what you will about, you know, a hiring committee and maybe the sort of performative, the fact that a hiring committee could be performative. This committee was in the weeds. I mean, this committee was going through candidates, meeting with candidates, giving Scott Barnes input. I think Mike Riley said this in an interview with Ryan Clark, who you mentioned, that, you know, Jamarcus Shepherd was a standout from the very, very beginning in the eyes of the committee as well. And I do want to say this about the coaching search, because you made a really good point about Paul Chryst. And because Paul Chryst could have maybe succeeded in this job, you know, I don't know necessarily one way or the other, but let's just say that he would have been the right guy to win at Oregon State. He would not have been embraced, or he would not have rallied the troops at OSU until he won.
Yeah.
And I think that was the sort of game of wait and see that the Beavers could not sort of withstand. And, you know, as good as Brent Vegan is, who I obviously was really high on in this process, Jamarcus Shepherd is going to have people excited. I mean, he already has people excited. You know, I mean, you see the season ticket, you know, email go out from OSU. I think Beaver fans are stoked, you know, envisioning it, you know, an offense like they've seen from Kalen DeBoer's teams the last few years at OSU, you know, a departure from kind of the way the Beavers have operated. There's real, I think, enthusiasm for what this is going to look like. And that's from day one. Jamarcus Shepherd does not need to win 9 games to get people excited. They're excited now. And so Paul Chryst, and maybe even to a lesser extent, Brent Vegan, was going to have to win to get that level of buy-in from the fan base. And so, I do think that you've got a coach now who sort of represents this new era of at Oregon State, and I think that's going to trickle up as well as down to the administration and the fan base.
You were in Seattle for the Oregon UW game. Oregon, as Dirt mentioned, is going to punch the ticket to the playoff. They won 11 games, 11-1, third straight 11-win season for Oregon. I'm very curious. I know people can find more thoughts at OregonLive.com, but Dan Lanning, as you mentioned, gets hired, and it's a lot of like, huh, okay, guy from the SEC title game, national championship team, okay, but we didn't really know much about him. We had to wait, and then it started with a clunker against Georgia, and it's seemingly gone nothing but upward since. I'm just curious where you're at on Oregon after getting that win. I thought in convincing fashion in Seattle, their defense is playing well, offense just a couple mistakes away from maybe scoring more than 26. Where's Bill Orem at on Oregon as they get ready for another college football playoff run?
I think this team has shown that it can win games in a lot of different ways. Like, I've not been that impressed with the Ducks from the standpoint of like, man, they just pulverize teams. This is not one of those offenses that just, you know, is scoring on every drive. They're grinding out wins. And you can look at that one of two ways. You can look at that either as, well, they're just not good enough and that they're kind of getting lucky and they're getting away with a lot. And there's probably some truth to that. But I do think that the bigger truth is that, you know, this is a team that wins. That it goes into games and it wins the way it does what it needs to do to win. I mean, you look at the way they, you know, they played at Iowa, the way they ground out the win against admittedly a bad Wisconsin team, Penn State before Penn State's will and spirit was completely broken. And then Saturday, you know, the Ducks were not moving the ball through the air and, you know, they were not completing drives. They were, you know, very much at risk of handing the ball back to the Huskies in the fourth quarter with a 5-point lead. And at that point, the Dogs had the momentum. I thought, hey, if you give Washington the ball back here, you might be in a situation where you're down 2 or 3 with 4 minutes left. And what happens? Dante Moore steps up and makes a really great read across the middle, and Malik Benson, you know, makes a great play. And I just think that that's what we've seen repeatedly from the Ducks. I think this is a winning team. I don't know what that looks like over the entirety of the playoff. Like, are they good enough to beat Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech? I think, and you know, I saw one mock bracket that would have them playing Texas Tech in the quarterfinal. I don't know that Oregon has the ability to hang with an offense like that right now. Like, the offense is going to need to step up to be able to hang in a game like that. But I do think that, you know, the Ducks have shown that they do what it takes to be in every game that they are in. And as long as they are in a game, they find a way to win it. And I would even point to that Indiana game. Obviously, you know, it ends up being a double digit loss at home. And, you know, the Ducks got pushed around on the lines pretty good in the second half. But where was that game actually lost? They were down 7 in the fourth. Ducks have the ball, and your 19, 20-year-old quarterback throws a bad interception in the fourth quarter. Is that a mistake Dante Moore would make again? I don't know that he would. And so I think that some of what Dan Lanning said post game on Saturday was pretty meaningful, which is, you know, in this system of the playoff, you can afford a stumble. You can have a hiccup, and the Ducks had one, and he believes that they learned a lot of lessons from it. And I think that, you know, I would not count them out in a rematch against Indiana. Even though I think Indiana's probably the better team, I would not count them out because I think they find ways to stay in games and then win them in the end.
Yeah, there's definitely an art to finding ways to win games in different ways, and Oregon has done that all year. And again on Saturday, Bill Oram is his name. He's a columnist at The Oregonian. Check him out on Twitter and on Blue Sky. They've done a great job covering the college football season this year. The big news out of Corvallis over the weekend, and we'll do so with Oregon advancing to the college football playoff. Thanks as always for the time. Happy Thanksgiving, Bill. You are on the nice list for us at all times, and we always enjoy chatting with you. Let's do it again soon.
Hey, I look forward to it, and you know, hopefully I can even get you know, both syllables of my name on the run sheet next time.
I mean, Bill Ram's a cool name. Bill, you got to acknowledge that, right? Bill Ram would be a badass name.
I'm just worried about what line of work Bill Ram might be in.
He's a porn actor.
What are we? He's got a mustache.
Wondering here. You got a mustache. You're Bill Ram.
His triceps are big.
You want to ram it?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What do we do? You're a car salesman. Take it in the truck.
Just ram it home, all right?
Yeah. I'm really happy I brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of your fault. You did that. You've been on the show before. You know how it works.
Hey, you go be a bad Santa. We love you, Bill.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Here you go, Bill Oram, the columnist at The Oregonian, the Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. And it's time for my favorite beer to be back on the shelves.
Oh.
It is Bad Santa season, ladies
really?
And gentlemen. Brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Their Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Slay your thirst with each sip of the Northwest's favorite seasonal beer now at your local grocers.
There you go.
Let's get to your ex getting fired. Did that make you happy to see your ex fail? Does that bring a smile to your face? Also, if you could choose, did they still make the right call? Let's get to that next. Well, the petty amongst us does enjoy seeing an ex fall flat on their face.
And you enjoy this far more than I do.
Do I? Yeah. I mean,
Duke
making an ACC title game with the coach that Miami fired to hire Mario Cristobal after going 7-5 because of a five-way tie in the ACC is hilarious. Miami's never played for an ACC title game.
No, I mean, that the whole thing, that's hilarious.
I enjoy that stuff. Mario not making the playoff again, which it does not appear that he will, would also bring a smile to my face. Jonathan Smith, you can make an argument, yeah. The Dirty Poll will come out this week. Stay tuned for that. We'll have some updated rankings there. What did Jonathan Smith getting fired at Michigan State 2 years in bring to you emotionally? Anything?
I didn't really do anything for me. I think the tough thing of doing this job is you become emotionally separated from stuff. I know you are not like this with Oregon. I think it's different when your program every year is a top 10 team in college football.
Fair.
Oregon State was flirting with that and around that, but that certainly is not where they currently are, and I don't like the administration. That being said, like, I understood why he left. It doesn't make it right. This was, and I bucked this, so I'm wrong here, but this was weird from the get. Of all the places to leave, you would have maybe thrown UCLA at me.
Talk about the timing of coaching searches. Like, he had chances for other jobs in the immediate aftermath of taking the Michigan State job.
I think it's pretty clear he'd be the UCLA coach and not Deshaun Foster. Now, would he have won there? I don't think so. I think this is what's weird. I don't know how much.
Would Washington had looked at him over Jed Fish?
I mean, maybe, yeah, because he was an OC there.
Like, let's not act like Jed Fish was winning titles. Even no, one 10-win season. Jonathan Smith did a better job at Oregon State than Jed Fish did at Arizona.
Well, certainly that's a fair case to be made, but I think people had forgotten. They hated him at UW at the end.
Yeah.
They did not like him. But, you know, his offense was fine. It wasn't amazing. I don't know how to explain how he truly got that program at Oregon State as high as he did. Like, there was a screenshot of a Husky or Martinez scoring against the Huskies in that rainy game at the end of the year, and they're like a top 12 team in the sport.
Yes.
It's like the highest that kind of program can be. And to see it fall where it was and see him leave, like, I think you look back on it, weird fit from the get, obviously the wrong choice. I think part of this was probably a little internal mixed with agent. Like, I'm a damn good football coach. Look where I've got this program.
Yeah, and the agent saying, take the life raft, take the money.
And now we're being relegated. Oh, here comes a Big Ten team with good resources that's looking for a very, you know, nondescript, mature start because Mel Tucker's situation's disgusting. And so here it is. Here's your life raft. Here's a way to stay relevant and be at the top of your game. Again, doesn't make it right. Most people preach loyalty and be loyal. Like, that sport's not loyal. And he took it. And it was a disaster. I mean, an utter disaster. And there's no way around it. He is going to make $30 million to not coach that team anymore. But if those kind of people, if we learn anything about them, they'd much rather be coaching than take the buyouts.
Without a doubt.
And so I don't know where he goes from here. I'm not saying he won't get a job, but it's like, how do you pivot in your life when this happens to you?
That's the difficulty of it. I got a couple more thoughts on this. Also, is it a dumb question to ask? Like, if there were, you know, whispers in the wind this weekend that maybe calls are being had of like, hey, you guys interested in doing, you guys want to, you know. It's like the college kid back in town for the night before Thanksgiving, hitting up all the old gals.
Reaching back out to the old
lover.
One
of those like, hey, what do you guys, you in town tonight? You into, a little bit of that happening. Should Oregon State have answered the call or they still make the right hire? That was the interesting part of this timing is that Shepard got hired and then the next day, and I'm sure people knew, Jonathan Smith knew. It wasn't a shock that he got fired. They've been a disaster this year. They just won their first conference game this weekend over Maryland, and it was a tight contested
game. They had to hold
on.
24-7.
It was. They had to come back, or, you know, hold on to your point, after losing, what, six or seven games in a row. I mean, they had been a dumpster fire. They hadn't won a game since September 13th against Youngstown State before winning this weekend. So him getting fired wasn't a surprise, but, you know, is a rekindling of that love something that you would have been interested in? I want to ask that, and then we'll get in a little bit more because we just didn't get a ton to Jamarcus Shepard. More coaching carousel stuff coming up top of the hour. We haven't even talked about Lane Kiffin yet. Just there's so much still to get to. Let's stick with Oregon State one more segment next on The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, right now, if you text the word Matt, M-A-T-T, the name, not like a Matt, but Matt, the name, M-A-T-T, to 503-864-6326, you will be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Matt Rife, who is going to be at the Moda Center on October 10th. And we're going to have tickets throughout the course of the week. Again, text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 503-864-6326. Your chance to be entered for Matt Rife tickets October 10th, 2026. That's a long ways away, but that's how we roll around here at the Moda Center. And again, all the details, 1051thefan.com.
I think I would add, too, because I didn't have time to say it there.
Yes.
Like, I do think he took the raft. I think him, I think his agent, I think... He's like, I can't be relegated. And that was a bad call by him.
Yes, it was.
The other part I'd say on Jonathan and Michigan State, to me, because I was somebody that thought, you know, might not be a successful week year one. I had them winning 7-8 this year. Couldn't have been more wrong on that. And it's clearly at a point where they're now forced to pay $100 million to pay out Mel Tucker and Jonathan Smith.
Has Aiden Childs become your Ty Thompson?
No. No, I got off that probably during the Boston College game when they won. I was like, that's not good. But what I would say, and I'd add to it, is he will never admit this. I think even more evidence of this, I don't think he knew what he was getting into.
He had no idea.
I honest to God think he took the biggest raft he could that was offered and thrown at him.
Yeah, I'm going to maintain my opinion at the time, and I said it when it happened, and I'll say it again. I thought it was a massive mistake on his part. I understand the feeling internally of panic of where is this going to go. But just paint a picture with me for a moment. Okay, if Jonathan Smith stays at Oregon State for another year or doesn't take the Michigan State job,
sure,
two different things can happen. One, two other jobs on the West Coast opened up after that.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA and Washington. Now, does he get either job? Does he get one? I don't know.
I think he gets the UCLA job. I tend to agree with him, but I don't know if he takes it.
Tend to agree with you, right? Hometown, West Coast,
yep.
Same footprint that you've always coached in. Like, it makes exponentially more sense than Michigan State.
He grew up in Pasadena.
Right? He has no ties to the recruiting. He has no ties to the high school. He doesn't know what the hell he's getting himself into.
That's a big part of this, too.
It was never a good fit.
There was no identity for him over
there. The other angle that I will give you, and this is what Oregon State fan argued at the time, and I will maintain it. Like, if he stays, the structure of the team doesn't completely stay together, but there's still at least some pillars that you can lean. Like,
it's the consistency of
Brazier,
what you
D coordinator.
Right?
Aiden Childs followed him. I'd imagine Aiden Childs stays. Now, I know he hasn't been great, but is that different against lesser competition? Like,
right.
If he sticks, Oregon State's schedule last year was nothing.
No.
So if you hang out in 1 year of purgatory and you win 9 games, you think all of a sudden job offers are going to dry up and they won't want to hire you anymore? Like, that was the only point that I made at the time, that I don't blame him for wanting off the raft.
Sure.
It was just the timing of it, of like, you look so desperate. The first team that calls and offers you a job, you jump, and it was never a good fit. It never made any sense. He's not an energetic, charismatic guy. And so going someplace where you're not known, the only thing, this is the whole point we were just talking about with Oregon State hiring Shepherd, like, the only thing that you can do to win people over is to win and win now. And in that same coaching cycle, Indiana hired Kurt Cignetti and they're going to their second straight playoff game, and you went 1-8 in conference play this year. It was a disaster, and it was never a good fit.
And I think to add to that too, like, if you go somewhere where they don't know you, you can win before playing a game. Jamarcus Shepherd is going to have his press conference.
He's
going to
win.
It's like tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow.
He's going to win tomorrow. It's going to be awesome.
He's going to win tomorrow.
He's going to get everybody fired up.
He's going to say Willie Taggart stuff. And you told me during the break, like, I ate that up. Like, yeah, he's going to say the right things.
Every fan base eats it up when it's your coach.
He's going to drop a, I've been at Bama. We know how to win. And you're going to go, yeah, you've been with DeBoer. You've been winning.
So Rodan, like, Tad!
Right. Rodan Beeve. Like, he's going to say the things. He's going to win tomorrow.
Yep.
I watched Jonathan's introductory press conference, and it was, the guy's not very charismatic. And then, like, that doesn't resonate, and you need a leader. You need somebody that's vocally going to be a leader. Look, the only defense I will give, and I gave this defense to him in the moment, and clearly it was not the right decision. I think having year two for him, getting even within 2 years of him leaving, I know everybody that preached loyalty is dancing today and saying, see, told you, should have been loyal. You could have a down year. You are our guy. Like, I get it. Who would have known Dan Lanning is more loyal to Oregon than Jonathan would have been to Oregon State, right?
Circumstances are, I get it. But
But my point is, I think with even the 2 month cycle of coaching, we already knew it was nuts. I think, Dirt, it's crazier than we knew it was 2 years ago. So I think it's, today, it's fair to say you're right in the, if you're 8 wins last year, you're probably getting gigs this year thrown at you still. But I think if you rewind even 2 years ago, the conference blew up. I mean, we still don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how all of this is going to get navigated. I haven't dismissed the idea of the Big Ten and SEC separating into their own Super League here. So, like, I just think so much uncertainty and not having any answers. And then also, can we not overlook the fact that, like, it wasn't like the leadership there has been
No, that's
stellar.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
By the way,
it has not been good behind the scenes.
Oregon State men's basketball lost to Cal Baptist.
Cal Baptist is undefeated.
Hey.
Oh.
You looked out for those baptizers.
What conference are they in?
I think they're in the Big West.
I think.
We don't even know what kind. Wow. If you don't know, that's a bad loss.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's the Big West.
I think that was a home game.
It was a home game.
Right. Totally fair point about the athletic department. Yeah.
The leader, and again, I'm not right here. He is wrong. He took the wrong gig. Shouldn't have jumped off the life raft, and I don't think he was ready for that job. But also, like, I think if we're being honest, 2 years removed, this thing is crazy. We have a coach that left a playoff team.
And we'll get to that.
That, I mean, that you want to talk about no adults in the room. There are no adults in the room.
None at all.
You can blame the NCAA all you want. You're still an adult in the room, and you're choosing to say, it's somebody else's fault I have to take this job.
Last thing on this, and then we'll move on in the final or in the third hour. Final hour. Yeah, it's whirlwind. I don't know what day it is. I think Scott Barnes knew, so this was a part of the decision-making, but I want you to be Scott Barnes for a moment. Jonathan Smith calls you and says, I'm going to get fired. Can I have my old job back? But you want to hire, you're going to hire Jamarcus Shepherd the next day. What do you do?
I hired Jamarcus Shepherd.
No thought about bringing him back?
Unfortunately, and we talked about this a long time ago, like you kick around the idea if he had gotten fired like 4 weeks ago, but even if he was back channeling for that gig, knowing this was a potential breakup, nah. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you reaching out. Good luck to you. We have a candidate.
Yeah. A lot of coaches have left Oregon, and Oregon State have not found greener pastures over the years. A lot of coaches have flamed out at the next stop.
Yeah.
It's been kind of the case.
Is Willie Taggart still the running back coach in Baltimore?
He's still in Baltimore. Yeah, so I'm on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving,
Willie. Derrick Henry.
Why wouldn't you be the coach?
We only gave you 10 carries today.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. How about Lane Kiffin?
Did he fake having a dog?
He might have. The coaching carousel blew up over the weekend. Let's try and put it all together and explain what the hell happened and how do we make sense of it. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.